Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants, and thank you for joining. You know, so far we've discussed false teachers, false teaching. How did the Bible come about, parts 1 through 3, and any black presence in the Bible? We've talked about the characteristics of false religion, cult, idol worship. Today we continue with those who say they are spiritual. What do they mean? You also heard me talk about it in one of the segments on Let's Talk About It, where I was talking about individuals who identify as spiritual therapists. And the question was posed, clarified, and identified. Distinct difference between God and Jesus Christ. But during our discussions, may our loving and merciful God continue to make his word real in and through your individual life. You know, society says spiritualism is a metaphysical belief that the world is made up of at least two fundamental substances. Matter and spirit. And this very broad metaphysical distinction is further developed into many and various forms by the inclusion of details about what spiritual entities exist, such as the soul, the afterlife, spirits of the dead, deities, and mediums. So let's give a brief backdrop before we get into it from a biblical perspective. Today's spiritualism began in Hydesville, New York, March the 31st, 1848. Now ponder as we go along. Two sisters and the Fox family heard unexplainable knocking sounds in their house. Over time, the girls developed a communication code with the spirit, first with yes and no raps, and then with raps identifying letters of the alphabet. Using the rapping code, spirit, are you paying attention? Spirit told them he had killed and was buried in the cellar of their home. This communication was proof of life after death. News of their communication with the spirit world traveled quickly. Within months, the two girls were national celebrities, and spiritualist activity exploded in the United States. The Fox sisters were invited to a number of public forums to demonstrate their mediumistic abilities to skeptical audiences. Their gifts and those of their other legitimate psychics and mediums spurred public interest in spiritualism. Interest continued until the early 1900s. Spiritual awareness renews itself in turbulent times as people search for answers. Look around globally. What do you see going on during these turbulent times? A lot of people saying they're spiritual. They're spiritual this, spiritual that. But people aren't asking questions. What do they mean by that? Spiritualism is a science. It investigates, analyzes, and classifies facts and manifestations demonstrated from the spirit side of life. That's what they say. They also say they are a philosophy because it studies the laws of nature, both on the seen and unseen sides of life, and bases its conclusion upon present observed facts. It accepts statements of observed facts of past ages and conclusions drawn therefrom. When sustained by reason and results of observed facts of the present day. Now, you heard me in the previous program identify how that science identifies itself as a religion. Well, spiritualism does too, because it strives to understand and to comply with the physical, mental, and spiritual laws of nature, which are the laws of God. A spiritualist is one who believes that the basis of his or her religion and the communication between this and the spirit world by means of mediumship, and who endeavors to mold his or her character and conduct in accordance with the highest teachings derived from such communication. And they identify themselves when it talks about medium, you know, conveying message and producing the phenomenon of spiritualism. You know, they talk about one whose organism is sensitive to vibrations from the spirit world and through whose instrumentality intelligentsias in that world are able to convey messages. And they also talk about being a healer, you know, either through one's inherent powers or through mediumship, is able to impart vital curative forces to pathologic conditions. And what's interesting, apart from them identifying themselves as a healer, it also consists of prophecy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, gift of tongue, laying on of hands, healing, visions, writings and paintings, voice, materialization, photography, psychometry, and any other manifestations proving the continuity of life as demonstrated through the physical and spiritual senses and faculties of humanity. Excuse me. And then last of all, they claim spiritual healing, a talent possessed by certain mediums, as exercised by the direction of incarnate beings of the relief, cure, and healing of both mental and physical diseases of humankind. Is that what you're involved in? Have you been? Will you be, as you walk around calling yourself spiritual? So from God's perspective, not mine, not yours, not your pastor, your imam, rabbi, priest, human teacher, therapist, and all of that, professor, teacher, what is spiritualism? Is it biblical? Is it dangerous? You know, there's a world out there that you and I can't see. You know, sometimes if you listen to Challenges of Faith radio program, you'll hear me play certain songs after a message has been presented or a guest interview. Well, one particular song, it talks about after bowing the knees, and after God has made it clear for one's life that now they see. The Apostle Paul says these unclean or evil spirits seek to oppress, harass, and silence believers so that we don't share Jesus Christ with the lost, you know, the non-believer. The The non-believer can be anybody that's come to your heart and mind and your family. Your boyfriend, a girlfriend, girlfriend, a boyfriend, husband, wife, wife, husband. Your best friend can be, as we'll see today, your pastor, fellow pew member. But Paul tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Look around at what's going on globally and all these different topics. Remember how that our Savior identified we have three enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Look at these topics that's being talked about globally that's trying to force Christians to surrender to. And look at the individuals who are over nations, states, provinces, villages, tribes, neighborhoods, cities, towns, counties that are not in the right relationship with God. Look at them. What are they trying to today convince you to do as a believer that you know is against the word? But even though these demons or even Satan himself cannot take the life of a believer, they can make their life miserable. Just ask Job. That's my private study. I'm finishing up this week. But he found out that there is another world out there, the one we don't see. And it makes it all the more dangerous. But on the other hand, if we are armored up, then we can resist the devil and his demons, especially when you look at the total chapter in Ephesians chapter 6. But if you're going to run around and play with fire, you know you're going to get burnt. Or you can look at Daniel. Remember how Daniel prayed and his prayer had been answered? And the angel let him know that he was held up from letting Daniel know. And the reason why he was held up, because he was in a battle, a spiritual warfare battle that Daniel couldn't see. And the battle was so intentional, like warfare. Let you know the rankings of the angels from a military standpoint. You forget what role the devil played around the throne of God? And the battle was of such nature that Michael had to be called an archangel. And when he came, even he had respect of the devil. He didn't say like you hear a lot of pastors and ministers say when rebuking the devil. He didn't say, I such and such got it going on based upon my title and based upon what I do and all of that. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. And by the way, they were contending over the body of Moses for whatever reason why the devil wanted the body of Moses. But when somebody believes they contacted a lost loved one, they might be led to believe that this was your family member or your friend. But the word, you know, the Bible says that it is appointed for men, women too, to die once, and after this comes judgment. And you see that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And this verse by itself destroys the notion that some people are going to die and go to hell or heaven and then return to tell about it. But when you get in the Word, like over in Luke chapter 16, 19 through 31, do you notice the account our Savior gave of the rich man and Lazarus? It lets us know that even though the rich man wanted to go back and warn his family, that he was not allowed to cross over, and so it is with those who have died outside of faith in Christ. They had their chance while here on earth. There's no second chance of salvation after death that you can find in the scripture. The word teaches us that today is a day of salvation. You can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. You got to remember, tomorrow doesn't have no guarantees for anybody. And when you look at Proverbs 27, 1 and James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, it lets you know. And so when you are tempted to become involved in spiritualism, the question you got to ask and answer, is it harmless? And you got to remember, spiritualism is a movement based upon the belief that departed souls can interact with the living. And so the spiritualists actually believe that the spirits of the dead still exist. And they believe they have the ability to communicate with the dead. But there are some problems with this as I take a sip of my water. They're forgetting about God. They're forgetting about the things that are more abominable to God than trying to communicate with the dead. And they may not like what they're actually communicating with, a demon or a familiar spirit. You see that in Leviticus 18:11, 19:30, 20 verse 6, 1 Samuel 28 verses 3 through 9, 2 Kings chapter 21 verse 6, 23 through 24, meaning 2 Kings chapter 23 verse 24. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, and 19, verse 3. Communicating with a demon or familiar spirit. And these spirits are highly familiar with the deceased in a lot of cases. So it's not surprising that the word sometimes calls them familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. There are a lot of people out there, maybe that's you. You got a lot of curiosity going on. Trying to communicate with your lost loved one. And you heard me allude to a few minutes ago, you're forgetting about God because God forbids this. It was such a serious sin to God that it was punishable by death. When you get in the Old Testament and see. So it doesn't matter if you're just curious or just making a, what they call a innocent inquiry. Your curiosity may still draw you to this sin. But when you go back in the Word, you know, the Garden of Eden, the beginning, do you notice how Eve's curiosity took place? Do you remember how it turned out in Genesis 3? You know, the law says do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out. And so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord, your God. Leviticus 19, verse 31. And do you know this wasn't a part of the Mosaic or sacrificial law, but rather part of the moral or civil law? And so it lets you know that Christ's work on Calvary did not do away with this law that we talked about. Leviticus 19:31. But you know what our Savior did do away with? the sacrificial system and all the laws that went with it. So you're running around with your curiosity. And you think there's nothing wrong with communicating with the dead. Well, the Word of God has an answer. Remember what God said through Isaiah the prophet? He says that if they inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? You can see that in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. And you really want to know how serious God took this sin? The law said in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 27, a man or a woman who is a medium or a necromancer should surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood should be upon them. So if a person turns to blood, shall think about it. That's what you're really doing, spilling your own blood. Because you've turned to mediums. You've turned to necromancers. The word says you're whoring after them. And God says, I will set my face against that person, will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And when you get in the Word and you really are studying the Word on this topic, then you'll see some accounts where people believe that they contacted their long-lost family member or friend through an encounter. And again, what they don't realize is that these familiar spirits are imitating their lost loved ones. Ghosts do not exist, but demons do. And you got to remember, these demons knew their loved ones' tendencies, their speech habits, and other areas that they had which were unique to them. But here we're talking about biblical truth. You know, the ghosts or spirits of the deceased are not your lost loved ones. They're demons impersonating the dead, and these demons are deceiving millions of deceived people, even followers of Jesus Christ. Christians are getting infatuated with these things. You know, there are churches out there that they have called, you know, demon units that's inside of them. And their role is to cast out demons for anybody that asks. And they don't care if the person is saved or not. But what that demon unit is really doing is drawing people. And it appears that that church is fascinated by demonic activity. And that's taking their eyes off the gospel and off Jesus Christ. It may even be a church led by demons, because you know that Satan has his own ministers. Open 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 through 15. And if he has his own ministers, he has his own churches. So you want to beware. And finally, you know, you want to stop dabbling in these kinds of things. And if you don't have any other example, remember the sons of Sceva? Remember how they had an encounter with a demon when they tried to cast him out by using Jesus' name? And you know they regretted it, if you know the story. Over in Acts chapter 19, verse 15. And that's why I always try to tell believers, if they want to hear, when a believer enter a room full of individuals who are non-believers, they know who you are because you walk different, you talk different, you act different. Christ, Holy Spirit of God, But the demons that's in that room know who you are. But the demon said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I recognize, but who are you? Immediately after this, the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and empowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. So as you can see, demonic activity is something you don't want to mess around with. And that includes playing with Ouija boards, having seances, trying to communicate with the dead. Because remember, as we just talked about, these are clearly forbidden by God, and he warns us from Scripture to have nothing to do with them. And when you dabble in these things, don't be surprised to get burnt. Remember, just ask the sons of Sceva. Do you think they tried to do another exorcism after that? You know they didn't. The next time we'll continue on talking about the various forms of religion, cults, occultic, you name it. On the Challenges of Faith radio program, I'm Gary McCann, and thank you for joining and tuning in today. Until the next time.